questions or comments, either about the content of last night, how it applies to you personally, anything at all, because after this we're going to start doing exercises and there won't be an opportunity for questions for a while. But, yes.
You were discussing yesterday, and you're mainly working on the man, but what you're talking about can happen in both sexes.
It is in both of us, and the reason I address it as I do is because most people who have the wherewithal to attend my workshops have already balanced themselves enough that they know they could do both, and they're ready for the next step of not having to do both all the time. Is that, do you have an intimate partner? Are you in a relationship? Okay. She's sitting next to you? Okay. I'll call you Mr. X and Mrs. X for now. Not that you're married. Are you married? Okay. Mr. X and Ms. X. We're going to take it for granted, or I'm going to take it for granted, unless other people tell me I shouldn't, that everyone in this room understands that we all have masculine and feminine inside of us, and that you and her can both be masculine, you could both be feminine, you could be feminine, she could be masculine, she could be feminine, you could be masculine. That play is something that we might have blocks doing, but we all could do it. So I'm going to assume that we all just understand that, and some of the exercises we do will show that real fast, but we can all flow in our masculine or feminine. Now, besides our capacity to be more masculine, which means I'm out of life, in consciousness, deciding where to go and how to get there. So when you're in your masculine, you kind of ignore relationship, you ignore most everything to get to your goal, which is absolutely necessary to get to any goal. So if you want to write a novel, you have to kind of sit down and go, I'm going to be doing this thing for a year, it's going to take this, I need this much amount of money, this much amount of time, and that takes your masculine to do that, whether you're a man or a woman. The capacity to discipline your time and achieve goals, which comes from the capacity to stand in consciousness and not be lost in events. Feminine, on the other hand, in all of us, is precisely that which is ultimately sensitive to events. So if you're really in your feminine and you sit down to write your novel and the baby starts crying, you can't write the novel because the baby's crying. You take care of the baby. Then you sit down to write the novel again, the phone rings, it's your friend. You just have to pick it up if you're in your feminine, because the flow of love and friendship is much more important than the goal. So when you're in your feminine, whatever love is flowing in the moment is what's the priority. And so you have to deny that love sometimes to get something done in your masculine. And the more masculine you are, the easier it is at that. The easier it is to do that. And the more feminine you are in your core, the more difficult it is to do that. If someone's got an extreme feminine core, they will find it almost impossible not to respond to somebody's love needs, as opposed to disciplining themselves and getting something done and saying, not now, I'll be with you in half an hour, or something. Does that sound a little familiar to you, or do you? Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that same woman who flows in love needs can't also be a corporate executive and go to work and do it. It's just going to be a little more stressful for her than for someone who's so masculine they don't notice people anyway. They're totally disciplined. So there's a difference between, and this is a new word for today, your masculine and feminine energies, which everyone has, and your sexual essence. And what your sexual essence is it's a born disposition that is at your core, that is based on whether you're identified more with your masculine or your feminine. And everyone is born with a specific sexual essence. About 80% of women have a more feminine sexual essence. F for feminine, M for masculine. There's a spectrum of energy. And right in the middle, we could say is B for balance. About 80% of women have a more feminine sexual essence. It might be close to balance. It might be extreme. But about 80% of women have a more feminine. About 80% of men have a more masculine essence. Some are real extreme. They ignore relationships totally, and they're only in their goal, so to speak. But 10% of people, roughly, these are just rough numbers, have a balanced essence. They're born with a balanced essence. That means when they turn on the TV, they're as emotionally involved in boxing matches as they are love stories. They equally move you. You're equally moved by facing death. Like a war story comes on, you go, oh, yeah, oh, you're feeling it. And then you turn it on, and, you know, there's a Barbra Streisand movie, and you're going, oh, no, yeah. And you're equally emotionally moved by both. Very few people actually have a balanced essence, but some do. 10% of men have a feminine essence. About 10% of men identify much more with light, with love, which is what the feminine is, love light. I'm sure all of you have seen people when they fall in love, they become radiant. You know, they shine when they're in love. Well, that is because love is what light feels like. And remember yesterday we were talking about the feminine is life force. And so when you have life force flowing through you, you're radiant and you feel love. They're the same thing, love and radiance. So if you identify with love light, you have a more feminine essence. And 10% of men do that. 10% of men, and probably I was using Michael Jackson as an example yesterday, probably Michael Jackson has a pretty feminine essence. Who has a more feminine essence based on what I just described? Michael Jackson or Janet Reno? How about Brad Pitt or Margaret Thatcher? For all you Brad Pitt fans, I won't say anything. I'll just let you decide yourself. But if you identify with radiance, if you like to show your radiance because you are light and that's what you love being light, you have a more feminine essence. If you're identified with where you're going and how you're getting there and slaying anything in your way and standing in the goal of free consciousness and liberating things into freedom, you have a masculine essence, more masculine essence. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, it's gender independent, although only about 10% of women have a true masculine essence and only about 10% of men have a true feminine essence. Much more common, and you could look around and we'll be doing exercises and you'll see this, is that you have a feminine essence, say you're a woman with a feminine essence, and so when you're born as a child, you love light and radiance. And so you play with colors and jewels and makeup just because it's fantastically fun. It feels great to be light. And puppies walk in and you play with puppies because they're life. It's life force. And so you're just involved in the show of life and love. And then anything could happen that could hurt that. So maybe you could be abused by somebody emotionally or sexually, or even something as subtle as having a sister, a younger sister born who's a little more attractive than you to her parents. And suddenly, you're the girl who gets the microscope for your birthday, and your sister's the girl who gets the bangles and tutu and scarves and jewelry. And if you have a feminine essence, even if you're a genius, you want to be recognized for your light and love. So it kills you when your sister gets the jewels and you get an Encyclopedia Britannica. Do you know what I'm saying? It hurts. Even if you're brilliant, even if you want to be a scientist, it still hurts because you also, in your core, want your heart recognized as light, as love. So what happens is you develop a masculine shell around that feminine. And so now it's like, You know, you're with your sister.
You're just pretty, but that you're going to get old and ugly. I'm going to be a scientist.
And you have this kind of shell of directionality where you start over-identifying with your masculine direction. It's not your true heart. It could have been. You could have just said, I'd love to be a scientist in a relaxed and loving way. But what I'm talking about is not that. I'm talking about the specific situation where because you're hurt, because you don't feel seen as radiance, as love, you identify with your direction and therefore have the shell of its actual muscular tension. And I'm sure you could feel it in your body. There's a kind of shell of not relaxing wide open like the river flows and like the sun shines, but instead there's a little edge of, yeah, I'm going to achieve, yep. Yep, can't. And a denigration of your own radiance. Anytime someone says, I want someone to like me for my mind instead of my body or something like that, it's usually saying, I'd rather be recognized for what I could do rather than for my radiance, which is a total anti-feminine stance in our culture. I mean, the fact that we value goal achievement more than the blessing, the healing of radiance is perverse. It's a temporary thing in our culture. I mean, we all come to Breitenbusch for the feminine radiance of this place, the healing waters, the sunshine, the air. We value it highly. But in a person, unless they could be somewhere on time or achieve a goal, it's like, you know, you better learn how to take care of yourself. So we'll get into that. But we have a very anti-feminine culture, and most of us have absorbed that. So even now, this is a very masculine thing we're doing. It won't be this way the whole workshop, but everyone's sitting there in their little chairs listening to these things. Everyone with the feminine essence would far rather be dancing, but it's kind of like, And there's a time for masculine and feminine, but our culture sure gives us a lot more time in the masculine than the feminine. So here's a girl who's now acting like a little, you know, false scientist, a tense scientist, and she gets to high school. And I think this is important to describe. It's described in some of my books too, because it'll alleviate your sense of confusion when we do exercises and you're wondering if you're more masculine or feminine, because we all have these shells. So over this kind of masculine shell, as a woman, maybe in high school you wanted to date girls and you realize that date boys, to realize that to date a boy, they have to be attracted to you. And who are they attracted to? You know, they're attracted to the tight-ass jeans or tight-jeaned ass girls who are walking around and showing themselves. And so that's probably not their true feminine either. Now you develop a feminine shell of spending hours in front of a mirror putting on lipstick, thinking you're going to look good, just fitting into your pants and so forth, looking at your butt in the mirror, making sure you're radiant, not simply because you love being light and radiant, but because you're neurotically obsessed with looking good so you get boys, because you doubt you're radiant, because this shell's blocking you from your true core. So now what you have is someone with a true heart radiance who's open as love and light, surrounded by distrust of that into their masculine goal orientation, and on top of that tension is the like superficial feminine thing. So you've got like Betty Boop over Janet Reno over your true show. So. And I won't point any fingers yet. So you always attract your reciprocal, as you'll see throughout this workshop. You're either sitting next to them or will be sitting next to them at some point in your life. So let's talk about a man. 80% of men is born with a masculine essence, and that means he has a strong sense of who he is and where he's going. So as a little boy, that comes out usually in terms of we call it like strong-willed disobedience. So what happens is, you know, you say to the little boy, "Don't walk on that edge of the fence, it's dangerous." And as soon as you turn your back, he's like at the edge, you know, falling. Because the masculine comes alive at the edge of death, as we were talking about yesterday. The masculine is at home in boundless consciousness, formless consciousness, death, no thing. And the only way to feel no thing in life is to be so focused on the edge that everything disappears except what you're doing, which the masculine loves. Whether it's, you know, rock climbing, race car driving, crossword puzzles, anything that makes everything disappear, except the little thing that you're focused on, is a masculine pleasure. That's why men in general are slightly emotionally more narrow than women. So here's this little boy who's challenging everything, playing the edge of death in his way. Sometimes it's literal death, you know, like there's a frog, oh, it's dead. There's another one, oh, it's dead. And you know, if you have a feminine essence, you go, stop that, that's horrible. But if you have a masculine essence, you know, when your wife's not looking or something, you do it too. You know, you take out your plinker, whatever you do. So the masculine essence loves death, essentially. Whether it's hunting, fishing, whether it's war movies, cop stories, or meditating to feel ego death, everything disappearing into void, into emptiness. And in Buddhism, they call it emptiness. Emptiness is the masculine obsession. So here's this little boy who loves living at the edge, whose father, say, is an alcoholic. And therefore, every time the boy disobeys, he gets smashed. Even when he doesn't disobey, he gets smashed. Guy, obviously, these are examples, but he doesn't have to be an alcoholic. He could just be a mean guy. So if this little boy gets punished every time he's asserting his direction, which is his masculine core, then he begins to associate his sense of who he is with pain, his essential core of I am that which challenges death and lives in the void is evil. He begins to feel I'm bad for that. And so he develops a feminine shell around that of learning to go with the flow and feel dad, you know, like is dad in a bad mood? Oh, you know. And so, sure, Dad, anything you say, he's flowing around, he's in his flow. Now, again, all men have a feminine part, and they could healthfully be in the flow of feeling. But what we're talking about specifically is not that, but about a little boy who, because he's afraid of being hurt, who's afraid of asserting his true self, is hiding his true self under a shell of false flow. Do you understand? That's different than his true feminine. These are shells. So he's this flow boy now. who goes to high school, let's say, and, you know, the flow boys don't get most of the girls in high school. You know, the quarterbacks do, the motorcycle riders do, the tough guys do, the strong guys, the class president, the whatever. Is anyone in here class president? Did you get laid? We'll work on that. I have to revise everything I say now. So here's this guy who's at his core. He wants to face death, whether it's ripping the legs off of frogs. Just so I don't, you know, I used to do that kind of thing. I want to make sure I'm not insane. Did any other men here do things like that as a child? Okay, just wanted to make sure. The magnifying glass on the amp thing. Get that? Yeah, yeah. What else do we have here? Ladies, are you enjoying this discussion? Now, a woman could do that too. A girl could do that in her masculine. So anyways, here's this guy. He wants to live on the edge of death, boy, but he's afraid daddy hurts him when he does, so he's acting soft on top of that, but it's an act. It's deep down inside, he knows what he wants, but he's losing touch with that because now he's making sure he does what everybody else wants. He goes to high school. He sees that what the girls like, you know, his hormones are flowing, he wants the girlfriend too, so he sees what the girls like are the tough guys, so he knows what he wants deep inside. On top of that is this flow kind of thing. It's false. It's fake. And then on top of that, he fakes the macho thing. So he's got this kind of like, hey, man, fuck, hey, how's it going? You know, high five, cool, man, cool, got any cigarettes? You know, he does this tough guy high school thing on top of the feminine flow, on top of his true core. Did you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if this is you. I mean, I was like this. So he's got this false masculine on top of the false feminine, on top of the true masculine. These two people fall in love. They're totally sexually attracted to each other because you always attract your reciprocal. So you have some macho, faggoty, real man being attracted to some, you know, like blue, blue, blue on top of on top of radiance, and they love each other. And they fall in love and they get involved. Let's just look at the best case scenario. Let's say they get married, they have children. And, you know, the whole marriage is ridiculous because her feminine core wants to be with someone she can trust so she can open and be a river. But this poor guy has lost touch with his true masculine core, so he's inherently untrustable. When he's in his feminine, he's wimpy, so he's, well, whatever you want to do, okay, sure, you want to, I don't care, whatever. And when he's in his false masculine shell, he's excessively rigid. Damn it, you do what I say! You know, this is my house, this is my way, you do what I, you know what I'm talking about? The rigid false masculine. So with these shells, they attract each other, but they never get fulfilled because their core never gives or receives what it really wants because it's always filtered through, at best, the shells. At worst, it's not even felt in each other. All that, it's just the shells interact. So, you know, Betty Boop interacts with Macho Joe, and deep down, they're both dissatisfied. So they get divorced. How old were you when you got divorced? 42. I don't know. So you get divorced. Your kids are grown up. You know, you wait for the kids. You get divorced. Now this woman says, you know, I've just, you know, given my life up. I've taken care of these kids. I never did what I really wanted to do. I don't want to be dependent on a man again. I'm going to become an attorney or whatever the popular thing is these days. I'm going to be a businesswoman. I'm going to open a business. I'm going to have my own career. So now, some women do that from their heart. They say, I would love to be an attorney. I would love to be a businesswoman. It's an expression of my love. That's fantastic. Some women are terrified of being abandoned, are terrified of being dependent on a man. And because of that terror, they develop a masculine shell. So now instead of them lovingly becoming a businesswoman, it's like this. Don't talk to me. I'm really trying to do this. And they're doing this, you know, they go, I'm going to put relationships on the back burner. I don't really need a relationship right now. You know, and they work really hard and they become really successful and they go home and they eat a bunch of Haagen-Dazs and they weep because their heart is killing them. This guy has just given up 20 years of his life supporting his family, postponing everything he wanted to do. Maybe he's never even taken a vacation. And he, you know, would healthfully might say, you know, I'm going to go to Brighton Bush for several weeks and finally rejuvenate after a life of being in my masculine. That would be a healthy thing to do. Or he could just go, Forget commitment. I'm never going to commit again. I am going to be spontaneous. The way is just a flow. I'm going to enjoy my life. I don't have much time left. And he goes to Bali or something, or Hawaii. So this guy then becomes a shelled flowster. Now he's, I'm sure you know these guys, they're like committed to non-commitment. They're committed to spontaneity, supposedly, you know, which is basically fear. So they're, if you could feel, and women, and again, are particularly sensitive to this, a woman could feel when a man is simply taking time to rejuvenate, but he's a very directed man who knows where he's going, or a man who's totally lost touch with his deepest purpose, and he's basically floating because he hasn't the slightest idea what else to do. Do you know what I'm talking about, ladies? And how does a man like that feel to you who doesn't know what they're doing with their life? Is he sexy?
Scary. Plastic.
Is it a happy thing, or do you want him?
No.
No. No. In fact, these two people, though, then fall in love. You have the attorney woman who's put relationships on the back burner, but she'd like to get laid now and then, so she goes with the flowster who she knows isn't going to interfere with her life, and he doesn't want to. It's another perfect relationship that gives no one what they want deep down inside, but gives both of them what they want superficially and temporarily, and it's inevitably doomed. How many people know someone in a relationship like that? Raise your hand. Okay. That was my tricky way of saying how many of you are in a relationship like that. So all of us have these layers around us, and when we do all the exercises we're going to be doing for the rest of today and tomorrow, sometimes your core will be resonating with the exercise, and sometimes a shell will be, and we're going to do our best to help you feel the difference and to learn how to open through those shells and come directly from your core without losing the skills you've developed when you've cultivated these shells. So you maintain the good parts of the shells, the skills, but you don't keep the armor, because you'll never get what you want in intimacy or your career unless you're giving and receiving from your core.
I'm not exactly sure how to ask the question, but it has to be anger and frustration in a relationship, an expression of that in a conscious way that doesn't create a negative response.
Mm-hmm.
Not how to be more specific without being real specific, but I just had an end of a relationship that was it was a lot of unfair, in my estimation, conversation, and when I shared it with friends, they thought she was being very unfair and unreasonable as well.
What is that? I don't know what that means exactly. You mean what
just,
she was...
What does that mean? Jumping in and interrupting to accuse me of interrupting her, and then going on this long dissertation about how that throws her off, you know, and in a way, it constantly, whenever the conversation seemed to get around to pointing out anything that could be seen as her responsibility, she would do something to change the subject and make me wrong. And I just was at a loss as to what to do. And it was so frustrating that at one point I just, you know, basically told her to go to hell, and then she stormed.
That always works.
I was exasperated, and the guys in my men's group, they were all thinking that I should have, you know, that was a perfectly legitimate, reason to experience anger. I don't know if what you have, I haven't told you much, but...
Well, there's plenty there to go on. Now that everyone's here, what we're going to do is I'm going to answer. This is your last question and answer session in the workshop, and then we'll be doing exercises till we close. I'm just letting you know that. The first question is about anger, and there are specific ways of working with anger that I think you and I have worked with actually before. We're not going to have time to do too much of that in this workshop now because it involves everyone, you know, hours of work. So, but something that you said. Something about fairness. You should be a homosexual if you want to be in a fair relationship.
Is that okay for the women in the group to hear that?
Well, same goes for them.
Yeah.
I mean, when a woman and a woman are together, what's called fair is congruent. And when a man and a man are together, what's called fair is congruent. I mean, you have a sense of what masculine integrity means. Do you understand that for a woman, you know, saying one thing, meaning another, change your mind 2 seconds later, saying she never said the first thing has nothing to do with lack of integrity, it's her actual feelings changing?
I understand the concept.
Yeah, that's... Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm not criticizing you. I feel frustrated in this... I mean, every man would feel frustrated in the same situation. You think the conversation is going somewhere or has the potential to go somewhere, but it's the rules of masculine conversation, which is you establish some grid of consensual reality and you both are relating to this grid of consensual reality and commenting on it. That kind of conversation only exists for the masculine. Now, a woman could engage that from her masculine and does sometimes, but as soon as she's out of her masculine, that grid becomes like clouds in the sky and you're going, but you said, but that's not, you know. And if you expect it to be otherwise, then you should be with a man in relationship.
I mean but is it just all extremes or fair game?
I don't know, ladies, are all extremes fair game? There's your answer.
From saying she wants to be the center of my life, and
to saying she hates your guts, never wants to see you again, and
that I'm demanding too much from her, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like,
anything she could say to collapse you is what she will say as long as she could collapse you. Haven't you noticed this? I mean, is this news to you?
Yeah, but even the guys in my men's group are like, man.
Well, they're men. Oh, you ask me, I'd be going, geez, man, I'm glad, you know, I mean, no kidding. Yeah, you know, I'd be sympathizing with
them. They're in relationships, a bunch of them, and they I mean...
And what?
And they felt like...
And they say, oh, my woman never...
Well, you should have, you know, put up with that.
Well, don't put up with it. You'll be hard-pressed to find a woman that you don't have to be with that with.
Well, I'm not willing to do it to some degree, but it's wild. It swings to where I wonder if I'm, you know, losing my sanity.
No, she's lost her sanity according to masculine standards.
That's true.
I mean, isn't that what it seems like? Doesn't it seem like she's insane in the middle of it? I mean, you're standing there, and the ground that the masculine conversation exists on is just gone. And you're thinking, there's no possibility here because she's insane. She's bonkers. Nothing she says is making sense. She's negating what she said 2 seconds ago. She's referring to something that doesn't exist. She's making things up. She's attacking me. I didn't even do that. What's happening? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, that is the feminine conversation. Not all the time, but that's certainly one aspect of the feminine. Here, and you'll probably never get this and never need to, except to understand that that's what relationship with the feminine involves. But imagine that, I hope only half of you find this terribly offensive, but imagine that what was your primary reality was your flow of feelings. And that what you had said or what someone else said didn't exist. Period. Or maybe it was like wisps of colored smoke or something. But you're very sure about something you're feeling right now, and that feeling's changing continuously. So you do what you just did to me. You go, in that moment, I hate you. I hate you. I'm the woman, you know. If you could. Take it easy, man. Let's see what happens.
What can you say, you know?
It's late Sunday night, you know. Not that long.
Oh, just stop it.
So, you so much as simple like that, or I've seen you in some of these exercises, you know, you get a little tired and start nodding out for a second. That would be sufficient for me to absolutely hate your guts in that moment. So in that moment, it doesn't matter if you've lived in perfect integrity for the previous 24 hours. In that moment, I hate your guts and you don't have integrity. Now, from the masculine standpoint, you go, look, it's true. For 1 second, I lost consciousness. But for the previous 24 hours, I was totally with you. To her, that's irrelevant. Right now, you're out of it and she hates you. So to the masculine, you accumulate merit. You could refer to a consensual history of reality. So as a man, I could still trust you. I could say, hey, man, you're drifting. You go, you're right, I'm drifting, but I haven't drifted for the last day. And I'd go, you're right, you haven't, I still trust you. Because I remember the last day as clearly as I feel right now what's going on. The feminine part of people doesn't do that. The feminine part of people is feeling what's going on now, 98% of it. And there's like a 2% piece that has vague feelings of what happened before, but that's irrelevant. Now, there's a masculine part of women, so the masculine part of women can play the same masculine game, but I'm talking about the feminine part of women, which for most women is most of them. Your collapse in this moment means I can't trust you. I'm with you. I'm not getting what I want from you. You're a schmuck. I hate your guts. Fuck you. I never want to see you again. Now, the beauty of that feminine part is that in the next moment, if you come to full presence and really be with her, then that previous moment's also forgotten, and she's swooning in your arms. But then when she's swooning in your arms, you know, you just have a twitch or something. It's like, fuck you! And you're going like... You know, you don't even know that you twitched, you know? And you're thinking she's absolutely insane. You know, one second she loves me, the next second she hates me. I didn't do anything. She's, you know, insane. Just relax. We've been hard on this guy. Relax already.
He's
doing
it.
She thinks I can.
We'll go out later.
Yeah, later.
So this feminine flow is, you know, it's something you may never get, you know, understand or grok completely, but, and you don't even have to take my word for it, really, but if what I'm saying seems to match what your experience is, just, you know, give it a little credence. And so when you relate to the feminine, it is a lot like, and again, I'm talking to a man here. I wouldn't say this to a woman because her experience is different, but it's like relating to the weather. I mean, when it's sunny, it's sunny. When it's rainy, it's rainy. You can walk into it and enjoy the rain. You can walk into it and enjoy the sun, but you can't like have a conversation with it to get to the bottom of why it's raining. Anytime. Or make an agreement that it won't rain tomorrow. You know, and especially, you know, these kind of conversations are classic where you say, so we've done this now, we've come to this conclusion, right? And she goes, right, we've come to that conclusion. And then 15 minutes later, a day later, it's like, she's doing it again. Whatever she just swore she would never do again or agreed would never happen. You know what I'm talking about? And so now you're going like, we just agreed that you wouldn't or I wouldn't. Or, you know, we agreed on this. And it's like, you know, because yes, but things have been different now, and she feels different, and you feel different. It's a whole different reality. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about what we just agreed about 5 minutes ago. You know, and so from the masculine, it seems insane. It is insane according to masculine values. According to feminine values, it's simply the truth of feeling. It's the reality of what's happening in her feeling. Now,
that wouldn't offend another woman?
It depends. Sometimes women lack integrity, lack feminine integrity. Sometimes women want each other to be in their masculine. But if two women are in their feminine, they know what's going on before anything's said anyways. This is how women communicate when they're in their feminine. It's like you invite someone over for tea. I'm a woman, you're a woman. And I take the tea and I go like, here's the tea. And that says, I hate your guts. You're after my man and I know it. You touch him, I'll kill you. And I, you know, so it's all in, here's the tea. And just the look, the angle, the tone, and the woman who gets the tea, it's just like, thank you, I always appreciate your tea. You know, every, you know, and then, you know, and then you ask ladies, you know, well, what did you talk about, you know, when you were out with your women friends? And they go, nothing really, but everything was communicated. Hardly, if you had a tape recorder there, it would have sounded like, chocolate, I love chocolate. But then if you had like a psychic tape recorder there, the psychic tape recorder would be saying, I like your dress, but your legs are getting kind of fat. Do you still like me? You know, I like you. Why don't we get together next Friday if you really want to? But the conversation has nothing to do with that. The conversation is like, oh, nice dress. You going to the movie on Friday? You know, it's just like tangential to everything from the masculine perspective. From the feminine perspective, it's all being communicated through body language, tone of voice, intonation, eyes, and speech. But to the masculine, what someone says is what counts. So if I say, I will be here at 3 o'clock, that has a truth value to it. Whereas to the feminine, that had a truth value to it in feeling when she said it, and now it's a different reality. Now, not being... That's frustrating to all masculine people, because you wish that they would be able to be consensual with you. You wish that they would be able to meet you. Okay, you guys, cut up. You wish that they'd be able to talk like a man. But of course, if they do, that bothers you too. Now they're not opening. Now they're going, well, I can't have sex now. I've got an appointment. Well, I don't want to kiss you now. I'm busy. Let me check my appointment book. Na 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 na. About this point, the bimbo babysitter's looking really good. Because you'd rather be with that amorphous flow of feminine energy than this na 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 na. So you can't have it both ways. A woman could certainly animate her masculine and abide by the masculine grid, and every woman does who works in the business world. That's what the business world is. It's a masculine grid. It's very stressful to the feminine body. They get all kinds of pains and diseases from it, but they could do it, and they could do it as good as any man. So a woman could abide by the masculine grid. If you oblige her to do that in intimacy, you're creating hell. You're taking away her feminine opportunity to be with her. You're taking away your opportunity to be with your source of feminine energy. You're turning her into a man. You're making her abide by masculine rules. Now, occasionally those masculine rules are appropriate. You know, you have to make a decision together on whether to buy a car. It's both of your money. You have to make, you know, it's a masculine decision. And then even if she changes her mind after she bought the car, she said something, and that's that. So there's a time for that, but not usually.
It's just that her behavior killed my affection for her.
If you expect her to be sane, a woman's behavior, sane by men's rules, a woman's behavior will kill your affection for her. And you'll never be able to be with a woman for very long. It's kind of like saying, you know, I like flowers, but they're just so colorful. You know, the color of flowers just makes me dislike them. Well, it's kind of like, well, flowers are colorful, you know. If you dislike flowers because you're colorful, then you just dislike flowers. Well, I keep trying to find a flower that won't be colorful, you know, and maybe you could find one, but it won't make you happy for long, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. There were times when it was just like, just a constant barrage of criticisms, and I'm trying to stay.
I've never experienced, has any man experienced that? That's a very... Yeah. That's a very unusual experience. I really doubt that any man, especially this guy, has ever felt a constant barrage of criticism, ever, by any woman, really.
So what's the upside here?
What? Well, you tell me, what is the upside? Maybe there is none for you.
That's not true.
Well, I'm asking you. You're the one who said, what's the upside? So I'm asking you, what is the upside?
In the brief and fleeting moments of sweetness, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But at least you got brief and fleeting. What percentage should you accept?
I don't know. What percentage should you accept?
Like 10 to 1, it gets old.
10 to 1, man, would I be happy with that?
90% suffering, man. Yeah, you'd be happy with that.
Consistently? Are you kidding?
I'm here to learn.
In terms of what you're talking about, in terms of that.
Well, I mean, it seemed like she was just testing me to, without any. It was just like. It seemed like she wanted to destroy me or something like that.
I'm sure she did.
And it's just... I don't know. Because I truly, truly tried. And I tried to apply stuff that you taught and everything.
What does that mean? Well, what did you do?
I tried to stay centered. I tried to just be present. I tried to just let, you know, set the staff in the ground and just let the storm blow.
And what happened?
The storms kept coming.
Yeah. So perhaps the, you know, misunderstanding is that if you do the right thing, the storms stop. If you do the right thing, the storms get bigger because they know they can't blow you down like the way they used to, and now it's going to take a lot more energy to find out if you're conscious. Let me reframe this for a moment, okay? Let me use someone we all know. What's his name? William Jefferson Clinton.
Oh.
Okay? I would say there was some negative energy directed towards him over a period of time by some millions, if not billions, of people on the earth. He was caught with his pants down. He's the president of the United States. He was fighting wars overseas. He's making domestic policy. And then he comes up to those microphones and in total presence, as tired as he might have been, gives his speeches. He doesn't get up there and go, "Damn it! Yeah, yeah, yeah." You know, I mean, he does his best to be present. Now, you're talking about one woman criticizing you constantly. A barrage of unnecessary criticism. One woman. One woman. Now, you got to imagine that Hillary is is probably not always Miss Sweet.
Oh.
Okay, so imagine Hillary on your ass. Okay, so you've got Hillary on one side, and now you've got Monica too. And Monica wasn't—I mean, she's whatever she is, but she certainly had her dibs on things too. So now, just two women, two simple women, and a billion other people harping on him, criticizing him, looking into his personal life, publicly criticizing him. Anywhere you turn the channel, imagine you, not just one woman, but anywhere you turn, people are talking about your sex life, how stupid you are, how inadequate you are, how you cheated on your wife, whether you have integrity, they can't trust you, barrage, 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 barrage. It takes an extraordinary masculine strength to be president of the United States, regardless of the morality of what he did and all of that, just to be functioning as president under all of that without collapsing emotionally. You know, you collapse, I don't mean hugely, but I mean, here you are going, with one woman, and all of us could identify with that. I could identify with that. But you gotta feel someone like President Clinton, that's practice. Now, that's not enlightened practice, but it's a fuckload more practice than we're talking about now with one woman. It means being able to stand in your purpose even though you're being barraged by criticism constantly, even though you're being barraged by unnecessary criticism, by people who don't even know you, don't even know what really happened. Talk about unfair, just people making a living criticizing you, books being published, movies being made, you know. We could do that for you to give you the chance to feel what that feels like, but that would require some serious practice. Now, with one woman, you have the opportunity. Can you maintain open consciousness while one woman is doing her best, and not intentionally, but just because that's the way women are made, doing her best to make you do your best? If all your woman did was criticize you, I'd say you got off pretty easy, and she was a pretty lenient woman. I don't know how many women in here while you were doing exercises felt like cutting your head off. Maybe you've been really present in your exercises here. I don't know. Has any woman here felt like cutting his head off during an exercise? You did? You did 2, 3, 4. 2 hands there. I'll count that as 5. So here are 5 women who don't even know you in a space of minutes feel like cutting your head off. Would you want to know why? Okay. Do you want to tell him what you felt in the moment that you felt it? So you felt him holding back or hiding or what? Right. So there, she's feeling your strength wavering and floating. I'm sure your intimate partner has felt that at times, and she wants to chop your head off. It's not a reasonable discussion. There's no excuse for it. There's nothing you could say. It's not a matter of fairness. You have lost your presence. She has become Kali. She has become rage. And you need that to wake up. Whether you could handle that in order to wake up, that's whether you could practice or not. President Clinton could probably handle it, you know. Gandhi could probably handle it. Whether you could handle it, I don't know. You know, we're going to discover that in your life. But there's, I'm not saying she's off the hook either. She's probably got all of her neurotic things, daddy things. She wants you to be a certain way. You know, I mean, she's doing her neurosis to you, but that's going to be true for anybody. So you've got to still learn how to practice fully no matter who you're with. But certainly, the expectation that your woman is going to make sense, be on time, adhere to what she said before, and agree to a consensual reality with you, and then agree to that same consensual reality 10 minutes later, is an absolute fabrication on your part and has nothing to do with reality in your experience or my experience.